Madison. Oh, it's so good.
Back post, and Payne gives Mark Madison the 1-0 lead. Enjoy this moment, Stephen Payne.
The Pink Men don't quit.
What is up, flock and friends? It is I, your host, Rob Chappell, and this is another episode of Talkin' Flock, your full Mingo podcast. With me, as always, Alex Alvarado. How you doing, Alex?
Not too bad.
We're in a good mood this week. We got actually a fun game to talk about. An uncharacteristic, well, it was somewhat characteristic in that it was a rather dominant performance on most measures, but uncharacteristic in that we actually finished some goals, and that was great. That was exciting. That was fun. We're going to jump right in because there's not a lot of news out of the team or the league this week right now. We'll talk about we got an Open Cup match Wednesday night. We'll talk about that. We got lots of other stuff to look forward to. But let's just jump into this game, man. What are your just big picture? What was Madison doing? Or what was Central Valley doing wrong that led to this really decisive result?
I would say we were just dominant and executing the game plan. And we talked about Gebhard last week starting to get into the half space in the 10. And I think that's probably why he had such a good game. He was just really – and the half space is the area between the edge of the penalty box and the D, which is at the top of the penalty box, and when you can receive the ball facing the goal in that space, it's really dangerous. And as you can see in the second goal, right, he took that facing forward, and the defense had to get compact, and then that left space on the switch to Murphy, who put it in the back of the net. Great finish. Really, like, the off-ball movement for the team all around was great.
That's really coming together, isn't it?
Yeah. Creating space for runners in behind, even if they don't receive the ball, stuff like that, you know, you love to see in game three.
Right. It's early in the season. Things seem to be gelling. Like you said, the off-ball movement is really intentional and purposeful and creative, I feel like. I would love to talk about the first goal. We'll talk with Derek about that in the second segment here because nobody could see it. It is ghost media. It doesn't exist anymore. I also, by the way, that technical difficulties about 5 minutes there where there was no signal coming from Fresno. That's when I learned that the people who do the stats, like on the USL Match Center website, also are just watching it on TV because there were no stats during that period either. Like they just stopped. Like there's a little, you know, if you go on the USL League One website, there's a Match Center and there's like, you know, sort of a play-by-play of every little thing that happens in the game. And that just was silent for those 5 minutes. So I was like, oh, okay. They're just sitting at home watching it like we are. But we did learn during that period that Derek scored, and we're going to talk to him about that goal in the second segment here. And we'll talk more about his role at that number 10 spot. Because you mentioned Derek finding a split there, and I think it's notable that we didn't have Chaney and Galindez in the game together this time. We talked about that last week. They both started up top, and it didn't seem to quite gel. It worked. So there was a switch set up where you had Chaney on top, and then later Galindez, we'll talk about that, with Derek Gebhard in the sort of the 10 role, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah.
And that seemed to be working. So Derek gets a goal. I'm told it was a header on a cross. We'll hear more from him about that. But the second goal you mentioned was that Derek was obviously involved in. The assist, Derek's pass to John Murphy was the 13th pass in the sequence. And that was a very nice buildup. It was going back and forth and back and forth across the back line. But the pass that kind of unlocked it was Michael Chalaka found Jimmy Villalobos right in the middle, right, just past the D, and then he got it to Gebhard and got it across, and Murphy all by himself. He had nobody on him. It was kind of wild that they had Fuego had two lines of four behind the ball, and Murphy still had like just an acre of space to run into and just hammer it.
Yeah, when Gebhard received that ball and no one stepped to him, like immediately, it was trouble. I mean, like that's like that's a veteran right there, you know. So.
Yeah, definitely a veteran, and it is that moment sort of reminded me of an earlier moment in the game, like in the third minute, Jimmy Villalobos put a volley over, and it was kind of inconsequential; it didn't come to anything, but it did indicate that we were going to have some space. Like Jimmy had a ton of space, and nobody stepped into him in that moment. You know, fast forward 40 minutes, and John Murphy had the same kind of thing where he's just free to just run up on a ball, and Derek, like you said, the sort of the veteran savvy to get it to him. And then just before halftime, in stoppage time, we get another one. Now, rewatching the game, I didn't notice it watching it at first, but rewatching the game, in the 14th minute, Juan Guindres gets a ball, moves it toward the end line. He didn't back heel it, but he like turned and passed with the outside of his boot to an on running Devin Boyce. It got blocked. Same exact thing happens in the 40, 45 plus two or whatever it was, where a long ball comes up over the top. I think it came from Villalobos over the top to Guindres. He takes a touch toward the end line, drags a defender with him, back heels it, and Devin Boyce is running on in tons of space and just hammers it home. It was such a mirror image. Is that something that you think they like worked on in training?
Oh, I mean,
yeah. I mean, is that not an accident, right?
No, that's something that's worked on in training. That's also, you know, taught young. That's strikers essentially working the channel. So there's a lot of vocabulary today, but
yeah, bring it.
Yeah, so like the channel is what when you're running towards the wide zone as a central or striker. And so what that does is it pulls the center backs, it pulls the defense with you and creates space in behind. And so Guindres was just doing that really well. And
yeah.
And that's something that you want to be able to capitalize on. And Boyce with that energy, he's just there.
You talk a lot about his work rate. That guy, he's just a hard worker and he's always going and always moving. And that was,
yeah.
I mean,
I love the Selly too. Yeah.
Great.
Oh,
you like that?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I said that was the only thing to criticize in the first half was that questionable selling.
No, I love it. It
was good. Very whimsical. I like that. And I like, oh, Jake Kroll came out onto the pitch and was like going to celebrate with him and then just like kind of backed away slowly. Okay, but so all of a sudden we find ourselves up 3-0, which is really not a position we're used to. I mean, this is the team that we always know the identity is to grind it out, to grind out a 1-0 win, you know, if you can. But to get three goals like that, I don't know. Do you see, other than, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about the questionable defending from the Central Valley. What do you see in that? Well, in this whole game, the first half particularly, that is good, that sort of portends well for the future.
Just, I feel like there was chemistry. There was some good chemistry on the pitch, and there was an understanding of where players should be from their teammates. And the difference between last game and this one is, I would say the intensity defensively from Central Valley was different, right? Greenville. And the conditions are different as well.
We should mention it was raining. It was wet and sloppy and raining. And
it's just but it's a difficult game on the road, and so I would say what it does is it positions us well going forward. You want to have a game where you get a lot of goals, and even in a shutout as well, clean sheet. So if you can start picking these up, keep that momentum going. And
we'll mention the clean sheet too, because Byrne didn't have a lot to do in the first half, but in the second half he did make a couple of decent saves. He now has not conceded a goal in 180 minutes. The team has not conceded a goal in 270 minutes, which is, you know, that's great. What did you see out of Shipman, especially in the second half, and our defensive intensity when they finally did start to, when Central Valley did actually start to threaten a little bit, we were pretty locked down.
Yeah,
defensively, right?
Yeah, I mean, what. you can tell when your team kind of lets off the gas a bit.
Yeah.
I didn't feel that too much, at least defensively.
Right.
You know, going forward, maybe, but we had a lot of opportunities in that second half to score as well.
I was going to say, yeah, Ferdy Sosa had two.
Yeah.
Put two over the bar.
Yeah. So I was impressed. I mean, there's really and the opportunities that they had in the second half were minimum and mm-hmm. not that dangerous. So that's a testament to the organization.
Yeah,
the back line.
There was one moment when Burn had to make two saves kind of in succession, but even that you didn't feel was that threatening. You know, he was in the right spot. He knew where he had to be. There were a couple spots in the first half where Central Valley was, you know, being threatening in the box, but we didn't actually put a shot on target because we had guys blocking shots, right? And we had making interceptions and just being really dialed in. A couple of stats I'll throw out. We did have 63% of possession, which it's hard to lose when you do that. We found ways to lose when we do that. Let's be clear. But last week we talked about sub 80% passing accuracy. This past weekend we were at 87.2% passing accuracy, which is much closer to where we usually are, where we want to be. Now you mentioned we didn't. I did feel like we took the foot off the gas after Jose Carrera Garcia got sent off. He got his second yellow card in the 61st minute, and it felt like once we were up a man, we were like, okay, let's just see this out. Let's just, you know, get this over with and get it done and not concede a goal, keep the clean sheet and get out of here, which, you know, that's a reasonable strategy at that point. You know, you got a half hour left to play. You're up a man. You're up three goals.
It's rainy.
It's raining. Nobody wants to be here. Let's just be done with it. in front of a sold out capacity crowd of 740 people, which is that's the reduced capacity sellout because of some sort of fire code thing. Which is ironic that they're called Fuego, and they have the fire marshal says you can't have 1,000 people in here. This is a game that we love to talk about. We want to talk about more, but it's just an absolutely dominant performance that maybe the best 45 minutes we've seen out of this club since August of last year. And like I said, I think it's the chemistry is there, and I think that at least the two goals that we saw really relied on a lot of chemistry and just understanding between players of where they're supposed to be and where they're going to be. And
yeah, I'm excited for these next few games.
Yeah, yeah, and I wish we had another league game coming up so we could keep the momentum going, but we don't. We have Wednesday night tonight. If you're listening to this Wednesday morning, the Boys are in Chicago. Today, kind of Chicago Fire 2 in the second round of the U.S. Open Cup. We talked with Mitch last week about that, and he seemed like, you know, this is a game we should undoubtedly win. You know, I don't know. It's a Division III professional side, so, you know, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be at their place. There will be very few fans there, probably. Mostly Madison fans, one hopes. Now, if we win that one, we would go into the third round, which will take place April 16th and 17th. And that's when the USL Championship teams come in. So it would be you'd probably take on something like Indy 11, Memphis 901, one of those second division clubs. Madison has beaten one of those clubs before. Here's a little trivia for you. Last time Madison beat a second division club was in the 2019 U.S. Open Cup. It was El Paso Locomotive. It ended up being 3-0. And playing for El Paso at that time was Derek Gebhardt. He was one of the starters on that El Paso team. So that'll be interesting to see if we manage to get through Wednesday night. We have no match this weekend. So next week on this program, we will just break down the U.S. Open Cup, hopefully the win. And then the next time we will see the Mingos in action will be April 13th, which is at home, which is the Henny Derby. And then the weekend after that, we also don't have a league match. We have a friendly against UW, the Battle for Madison. So lots coming up, and I kind of like this schedule the way it's played out so far. It hasn't been too congested. You got these Open Cup matches in the midweek, but then you got the weekend off, so that's great. We will be talking before too long about the Jägermeister Cup matches. The first match in that cup is later in April in Lexington. We will be right back after this with the scorer of the game-winning goal himself, Derek Gebhardt.
What's up, everybody? This is the star host of Out of the Box Podcast. My podcast is a platform for advocacy, raising awareness about the challenges faced by former inmates and promoting the idea that everybody deserves a second chance. It's my invitation to you to become a part of the movement towards positive change, and I'm excited to tell you it's the newest member of the 365 Media Network of podcasts. We'll have new episodes every other Thursday, so be sure to watch madison365.org/podcast for new episodes, or subscribe to Out of the Box Podcast on all your favorite podcast apps. I'm D-Star. Until next time, guys.
And we are back, and a couple of news items that have come up since we've recorded the first part of the podcast this morning. First of all, maybe the best news is Christian Chaney, who went out in the 13th minute of the match in Central Valley. The club tells us he's day-to-day. He made the trip to Chicago. Not sure he's going to get in the match, but he tells us his hamstring hurts, but he's up and walking around. So, you know, it's not a long-term thing, we hope. Fingers crossed there. One other thing is our own Burton Shipman is up for Save of the Week. So please go on and find the USL League One website and vote. Burton also is once again for the second straight week is the goalkeeper on the Team of the Week. He joins four Madison players. Five. I think this is a record for the number of four Madison players on a Team of the Week. Along with Burton, Devin Boyce, Mitch Osmond, John Murphy Jr., and Derek Gebhardt all make Team of the Week. Speaking of Derek Gebhardt, here he is. He's joining us now from Chicago, where the boys are preparing to take on Chicago Fire 2 in the Open Cup on Wednesday night. Derek, how you doing?
I'm good. Trying to stay warm, but appreciate you having me.
We're all trying to stay warm. We're all trying to stay inside. We're trying not to drive around. It took me like an hour to get home from my office today. And it normally takes about 20 minutes. We hope you all are, if you listen to this Wednesday, or that you're all dug out okay. Derek, you scored the greatest goal I've ever seen. A bicycle kick from the center circle. As folks who watched the game know, Derek Gebhardt scored the game-winning goal in the, 28th minute or so? Is that when it went out?
Yes, the 28th.
Yeah, relatively early in the match, but nobody knows what happened because the broadcast went out, and so we're going to leave it to you to tell us what I did hear through Twitter from one of the 750 people who were there, that it was a cross and a header. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's what happened.
Tell us about the build-up and everything and how it went down.
We had the ball on the right side. I think Steven and Devin were both out there. They were kind of like, I can't remember exactly. I think one of them overlapped. It might have been Steven overlapped.
Uh-huh.
He like got it and then played it back to Dev. Dev was kind of like on the right side outside of the 18, whipped in a nice mm-hmm. cross. I was just in between the center backs, was able to get up, get like the side of my head on it, went off my ear. and then, just like I think hit off the ground and bounced in. But
oh, nice. Okay.
It was a great ball from Dev. And then, yeah, that's kind of what happened.
Yeah. So, it's been a constant theme much of last year that you all were creating tremendous chances and just kind of not finishing them. And all of a sudden we did on Saturday night. What's the difference in terms of being able to rack up a nice, comfortable 3-goal lead? What is it about this group that's helping you do that?
Yeah, I think we just have a good group of guys that where it's like every week it's tough for the coach to pick a starting 11 because we have mm-hmm. so much quality. We have guys that all can start in this league. So
mm-hmm.
I think that just that itself kind of helps with everything. It drives the competition, makes everyone having to stay on their toes, working hard, making sure they're doing everything they can to be in the team. I think that's a big part of it.
Talk to me about team chemistry too. It seems like things are gelling really quickly in only the third game. Like you guys are anticipating, it seems like you're really working well together as a group.
Yeah, I think what helps with that is a lot of returners this year, which was good. Sure. I think that helps with the team a lot, as far as we kind of had an identity already and mm-hmm. how we like to play. So then it was more of like adding some more pieces in to that to help build off of what we had going on last year. So I think mm-hmm. that's definitely helped us a lot to get to start the year where we're more, a little bit more comfortable than maybe we were last year.
Sure, sure, that makes sense. Now you got with the addition of Faraday Sousa then on the left wing, your role is different this year than it was last year.
Yeah,
and which was different than it was the year before that. So how are you adapting? Was there a conversation with Matt about, you know, we're going to put you in this more central, more attacking role, which is kind of where you're more comfortable anyway, probably. Mm-hmm. Was that an intentional conversation or just how did that evolve and how are you feeling in that role?
So I think it started last year where there were some games where we maybe had injury and stuff like that. Cause I played wing back.
Right. Yeah. Toward the end of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. Towards the end of the season, I came up a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think there was like a game or two I was able to play well in that position. So I think from there, Matt maybe saw that I can maybe give something in that role at times.
Sure.
And then I think with some of the players that we had this year, yeah, it hasn't really been a conversation. It's just more he'll put me there and then mm-hmm. I try and do the best I can. But it's a little bit of adjustment just because, for the most part, I think overall my time here, I've been for the most part like a wing back mm-hmm. in most games. I played a little bit of like right wing and in the front three sometimes. But yeah, so it's just a little bit of adapting just to the position a little bit. It's a little bit different as far as my back's facing the goal a little bit more, mm-hmm. Defenders on my back and stuff like that. So just, and the chemistry, getting to know the players in the front three, how they like to move, how they like to play and stuff like that. So just a little mm-hmm. bit of an adjustment, but I think we're starting to build some chemistry right now.
Yes. That role, speaking of that, you obviously you had the assist on John Murphy's goal as well after having scored one. So can you talk us through that sequence a little bit? You get a ball, what, about 20, 25 yards from goal and you look up and you see Murphy standing all by himself. How does that?
Yeah, develop? I think Jimmy played me the ball. I was kind of making yep. a little bit of a run. And then, yeah, they're like outside back pressed me. So I took my touch inside and then, yeah, I saw Murphy calling for it and then, yeah, just played it to him and he took an amazing first touch. And I knew as soon as he took that first touch, I was like, yeah, he's about to bang this. So, and then he banged it. So I was like, wow, man, thanks for giving me that assist. It's one of the freer assists I've ever had.
It seemed like a pretty miserable conditions. I mean, the rain and everything, was that, did that affect
yeah, the game at all? Wasn't what I was expecting when we were going to Cali, but
yeah,
I was expecting sunshine, but it wasn't too bad. It was a little chilly. But it kind of, I think it kind of suited us. Like the field was slick, okay. It was grass, and it wasn't like too cold. So it was maybe in like the 50s. So not like too bad, but yes, that's kind of ideal playing weather, I would say.
Yeah, that's good football weather. Now you're in Chicago, preparing to play Chicago Fire 2 in the second round of the U.S. Open Cup. You played this team in the preseason. You beat them 3-1. Does that mean anything at all, or is preseason just like completely not even worth thinking about?
Yeah, I would say it doesn't matter too much. Just because it's preseason, although we are wanting to get the result, we're not playing for anything in that moment yet. We're still figuring mm-hmm. things out, trying things out. Same with them. But it does at least give us a little bit of a look of how they like to play and things like that. So maybe we can use that to prepare for this game. But yeah, I'm sure they'll have a little bit of a different team and
sure,
play a little bit different than from when we played them in preseason. Yeah.
Is there and maybe you don't even recognize, maybe you don't even see this in your day to day, but the with MLS Next Pro now being its own sort of completely separate league and it's still in the third division, but is there any way to compare the talent level between League One and Next Pro?
I feel like it's tough because we don't play each other often. I guess these type of games are where
I guess this where, is where we'll find out, right?
Be, yeah, this is where you can kind of see. I think with the MLS Next Pro, I would say it's maybe a little bit more younger, a lot more younger players developing and things like that. Over the last throughout my time here in USL League One now, I've definitely seen like it was like younger players when I first came in, and it's sort of changing a little bit. And so there's a lot of experienced guys that have been playing a championship coming and every year and stuff like that. So that's what I would say about those two leagues. But we'll see tomorrow. We'll get a
We'll see Wednesday night. Now speaking of you've been in League One for this is your fourth season with Madison, right?
Yes.
Are you and you're the longest tenured Flamingo? Are you like the Madison tour guide for all the new guys coming in? Do they like ask you where to eat and stuff?
Maybe a little bit. I still don't like know everything like of where everyone should go, but I do at least know enough of the areas to be like, yeah, like that area has some good stuff over there, this side. So yeah, a little bit. There's some other guys that have been here. I guess this is their second year now. So yeah, there's a few of us that can kind of help the guys.
where are your spots? Where do you like to eat in Madison?
There's a place called Ha Long Bay that I like to get downtown. There's a place called Ancho and Agave on the west side that has like tacos and stuff that I like. A canteen downtown has good tacos. I like too. Those are just some off the top of my head that I could think of right now.
Yeah, are you one of the guys that hangs around in the off season?
No, I go back to Florida and try and get in the sun.
Smart. Smart. is your family with you now during the season?
My family. Oh, are you saying are they here like now in Madison?
Yeah.
Yeah. My fiance and daughter both came with me. Yes.
Cool. Awesome. So how is it living that sort of like split life? I mean, I like to ask about this stuff because like we see you on the pitch for 90 minutes a week.
Yeah.
But you have a whole life. So, you know, you're here for the season, you're back in Florida, and it's kind of an itinerant life. What is that? Are you just used to it? Or, you know, how do you like adjust to like having?
In some ways, I guess I'm definitely more used to it. I guess the harder part is when it comes to, like my fiance and daughter, they're not so used to it, but we've kind of been able to get like have a situation where it's a little bit, it's not like the worst to go back and forth kind of thing. Like we've been able to have like a storage unit that we would leave stuff in, when we would go back and stuff like that to make, so it did make it a little bit easier where we could just, you know, get our car, just drive back and then come back the other way, get the stuff out the storage and wherever we're staying, get it where we need to get it. But yeah, it's, I'm definitely used to it, but yeah, I guess the harder part has been, my fiance and daughter adjusting a little bit, but they've done amazing with it. So I appreciate that.
That's cool. That's great. That's great. So now looking ahead, we've got, you got basically like a week off, you know, a week off after this match. And then you host Richmond, and then pretty soon you're into this, the Jägermeister Cup, which is the most hilarious name for a cup competition ever. But are you guys, your first match is, I think it's against Lexington. I can't remember if it's home or away, but, are you, what are you thinking about that tournament? Are you excited? Or is it just like a different, just another game with a different label on it?
Yeah, I think as far as like throughout the season, we'll treat them as like another game. Like we're just trying to win, getting 3 points. But it definitely adds like another layer to the competition where there's another trophy to play for. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that'll motivate us to as far as like that's something else that we can aim to win this year. So yeah, we're definitely gonna be taking those games just the same way as we do the league, where we're gonna be trying to get as many points as we can.
Yeah,
I think the only different thing will be if the game ends in a draw, I think it goes like straight to pens or something like that. So that'll be interesting if that's
but only for an extra point. It's strange. Like each team gets a point, and whoever wins the penalty shootout gets one more point. So
I didn't even see that part. So okay,
yeah. And then here's the other thing. Do you know about the goal scoring thing or who gets the fourth wildcard spot
in the semis? Oh yeah, I saw it's like it's like the team that gets the most goals or something will get.
Not best goal differential, just whoever scores the most goals. So somebody could at the end be like at the bottom of their group and say, if we score 12 goals tonight, we can get into the semifinals.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It's the first time I think I've seen something like this in the USL. So yeah, it'll
at
be
this level, yeah. I was very skeptical at first, but I think I'm gonna enjoy it. It's gonna be fun. All right, Derek. Well, I'll let you get going to your team dinner, and I really appreciate you giving us the time today. And best of luck in the Open Cup, and going forward. And we will see you on the 13th of April.
Awesome. Appreciate that. Thank you for having me on here. It's awesome. Right.
Thanks, Derek. Appreciate it.
Yep. No problem.
All right. Let's go around the league now. Omaha at Chattanooga. Was postponed, as we mentioned last week, due to field conditions in Chattanooga. Their field, their turf, their pitch is just not ready yet. So Omaha continues to remain unbeaten with only one game having been played so far in the season. On Thursday, Charlotte hosting Spokane. After a scoreless first 45, Joel Johnson got the Jacks on the board right out of halftime on a rebound. And Javier Gil equalized for Spokane in the 72nd, and about 4 minutes into stoppage time in this one, Charlotte really got away with a foul in the box. It should have been a penalty. That's the consensus of the USL League One podcaster group chat. Spokane should have been awarded a penalty about 4 minutes into stoppage time, but they were not. Immediately thereafter, the goal kick from Charlotte makes its way all the way up to Luis Alvarez, who solo effort just carried the ball into the box, scored from just the top of the 18-yard box, and for the winner for Charlotte. On Friday, a wild one between Lexington and Greenville. Isaac Cano got the hosts, Lexington, on the board on a blistering counterattack. Cameron Lancaster got his first USL League One goal, doubled the lead early in the second half with a striker's finish, just a poacher right in the middle of the box, tapped it in. Easy as you like. Ben Zakowski got one back for Greenville, his first professional goal, with a really cheeky little back heel in the 65th minute. The turning point in this one, I think, was the 80th minute. Amal Knight somehow got himself sent off. He yellow card foul, immediately followed by yellow card for dissent, and was sent off. So they had to replace the goalkeeper and take off another player. So they were down to 10 men. A couple minutes later, Lyon McKinnon leveled it. A real banger for him to level it. And then the craziest thing that we saw this weekend, in stoppage time, Hayden Anderson for Greenville puts a long throw in into the box. Backup keeper Nico Camposano went up to try to catch the throw in, and it went right through his hands, and Kalen Fox was on the line trying to clear it and could not. So it goes down as an own goal charged to Kalen Fox, and Greenville takes this one 3-2. And once again, 2-0 for Lexington proves to be the most dangerous lead in all of sports. And finally, Knoxville at Tormenta. Tormenta at Knoxville, and Angelo Kelly Rosales in the 36th minute, a worldie from about 27 yards away, just in a blistering finish. An incredible shot, an incredible goal. And that's all one Knox would need to keep up their perfect 3-0-0 start at the top of the table. That's not going to last forever, but they are on a tear to begin the season. And that brings us to stoppage time. And we're just going to have one stoppage time this week. And I'm going to clue you in on a very cool tournament that's getting underway this weekend. Called the Wisconsin Cup. It's a 2024 Wisconsin Cup. There are six pretty high-level amateur teams in this tournament. These are WPASL teams, as well as some of the Milwaukee League teams, the Madison League teams. This weekend, April 7th, Isthmus FC, which is a newer club, a couple years old, will host Honduras FC. I think if Isthmus City is still playing at Madison College, I think that's probably what it would be. But in addition to those two clubs in the South group, you got Milwaukee Torrent, also in the South pool, and then Bateau FC from Eau Claire, Superior City FC, and then Wisconsin Conquerors make up the North pool. it's going to be a sort of a round robin, and the two group winners will meet August 3rd for the championship in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. I don't think these are going to be streamed anywhere unless you can like FaceTime with somebody who's at the game. We will. I think these tournaments, these amateur tournaments, are a great addition to the Wisconsin soccer scene, and so we'll be following. And it's pretty cool. I will put a link to the schedule in the show notes. Once again, tonight, if you're listening to this Wednesday, U.S. Open Cup, you can watch that match at ussoccer.com. USopenCup.com seems to have some connectivity difficulties, so go to ussoccer.com and watch the match, the Madison versus Chicago FC Chicago Fire 2 match, and we'll break that one down next week. Until then, I'm Rob Chappell for Alex Alvarado.
Cheers.
We'll talk to you later.